read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
You can hippity-hoppity off to a different land, or you can simply hippity-hoppity off to Woodstock. They have a beautiful bookstore there. It's called Golden Notebook, and you would find the proprietor, Jackie Callahan, there. She's busy keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our time, and she joins us this morning for our book pick segment. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm fine. How are you?
I am fine, too, and it's very nice to have you with us. Where would you like to begin?
Well, one of the things that I always look for when I create a book list is like, wow, why have I compiled these books? What are these books saying to me this week? Sometimes there's a theme. And I feel like the theme of these books is darkness and light and finding one's true voice and sometimes uncovering the things that have blocked us from our true voice. And all of these books do this with the most incredible, beautiful writing, and in some cases in unsuspected ways. The first book that I would like to turn to today, and really these next two books I think are going to be hugely popular books this spring and this summer. The first book is the new memoir by Oliver Sacks called On the Move, A Life. And one thing, when you pick up this book, that you'll notice immediately is a picture of a young, handsome, kind of hot Oliver Sacks on his motorcycle on the cover of the book. It's the image that many of us are not so used to for him. If you look at the back of the book, you see an image that you more usually see of a sort of avuncular, kindly, wise, bespeckled Oliver Sacks. This book is amazing. It's beautiful. He's going through, in a kind of classic memoir way, all the different aspects of his life, some snapshots, some journals, some letters, telling the stories of his family, of his sexuality, which is something that he hasn't really written too much about before. And I think that is a very strong theme in this book, of his sort of his route to happiness, his struggle with addiction, and throughout the many, many stories of the incredible patients that he's met and the beautiful way that he's opened up our minds and neurobiology to us through the years. I think that Oliver Sacks is one of the most gifted writers about science and about telling us about ourselves through the humanity of ourselves, sometimes through the difficulty of disease. And, you know, it's a great gift to have this book and to understand more about Oliver Sacks, the man, and rediscover his writing. So, On the Move, A Life.
On the Move, A Life, it is by Oliver Sacks. And a beautiful book, getting beautiful reviews as well. What is next?
Yes. The next book is also, to me, a beautiful book to have, and it is called Man in Profile, Joseph Mitchell of the New Yorker, and it's by Thomas Kunkel. This, believe it or not, is the first biography of Joseph Mitchell. And if any of our listeners are not familiar with who Joseph Mitchell was, he was a storied, very famous journalist first in New York City for the Herald Tribune, kind of in the glory days of print journalism in the 1930s. And his specialty became the profile, really writing, you know, profile of Bessie Smith, you know, people that work down on the New York City waterfront, people in bars. Later, his career as a journalist transitioned into writing at the New Yorker. And he, perhaps to many, became known for the first time in the early 90s when a collection of his work from the New Yorker up in the old hotel was printed. That was 1992. One of the things that is most famous about Joseph Mitchell, unfortunately, in some ways, is not for what he wrote, but what he didn't write, because he did not publish another word after 1964. Mm. And many people have wondered why this was, what happened. He had an office in the New Yorker. He went there every day. People could hear typing. What was he working on? What was it? And he died in 1995, and no one knew. And so this biography, Thomas Conkle, just sheds light on Mitchell's life and starts to give us some insight as to, you know, what he was as a writer, what his journalistic profiles, particularly in The New Yorker, were or were not. And I'm going to let you read the book to find out what they were not. And then also cast some light into why he didn't publish anything after 1964. I think that, you know, for people that love Joseph Mitchell, and I think anyone who really loves good writing and loves good nonfiction or fiction writing is a huge fan. You can rediscover his work and then really understand him more as a writer. It's just a fantastic book.
It is... it's Man in Profile, Joseph Mitchell, yeah, of The New Yorker. I'm sorry, I was reading the author's name first. I apologize. It's Thomas Conkle wrote Man in Profile, Joseph Mitchell of The New Yorker. Very cool. Okay, next.
Yeah. The next book is a beautifully written book, and it's in many ways hard to categorize. It's part philosophy, part spirituality. It's a book that's called Waking Up to the Dark, Ancient Wisdom for a Sleepless Age, and it is by Clark Strand, who is a writer who lives here in Woodstock, and he's been the editor at Tricycle, which is a Buddhist review, and he's written about spiritual traditions, really, for a few decades. And this book is a really fascinating book about our humanity's relationship with the dark, namely that it changed in the 1920s, or, you know, the turn of the 20th century for everyone, practically, with the electric light. Prior to that, there had been a kind of ancient rhythm of sleeping and waking, sleep for 4 hours, arise, maybe have some level of wakefulness in the middle of the night for 2 hours, and then sleep again. And Strand maintains that it's these 2 hours in the middle of the night where there's so much art and so much kind of transcendent understanding of ourselves, that religions, historically, that has been a moment of great prayer and connectivity. And in the artistic tradition, a lot of productive work has happened. With the electric light bulb, all of that has changed. Now we have our sleep compressed. And when we wake at night, it's a problem. You know, we're fighting our demons. It's a scary moment. And he's encouraging a different relationship with the light and just opening us up to how we think about how we sleep and why we wake. And maybe it's not so much of a problem. It's a very, very special book. We're going to be doing an event, actually, this Saturday night, 7 o'clock, with Clark, for Waking Up to the Dark.
Excellent. And he'll be joining us as well. And very, very cool. I've just started reading the book. It's quite amazing. Clark Strand, Waking Up to the Dark.
Really amazing.
Yeah. And your event is Saturday, May 2nd at 7 o'clock.
That's correct.
Next.
That's correct. The next book is also a very special book, too. It's by Alice Eve Cohen, and it's called The Year My Mother Came Back. And it's a memoir, and it's about a very difficult life in the year of the author, where a lot of things are going on with her children, with her own illness, and she's struggling with a lot. Her mother has been dead for 30 years, but suddenly her mother comes back to her very strongly, in voice and in spirit, and is trying to comfort her, but also... a kind of dialogue begins with her memories of her mother and her difficulties with her mothering style. Her mother was an incredibly liberal, kind of trailblazing mom in the 50s and 60s, you know, was working towards a PhD, was like the first mom on the block not to, you know, shave her legs and, you know, not to cut the grass and all of that. But still, they struggled very much in a mother-daughter way. And it's through her remembrance of what her mother was like that she's able to surmount some of the challenges that she's facing currently as a mother. By the way, this is a great Mother's Day gift, and it's just a wonderful book about the the dialogue that many of us have or don't have with our mothers, but sometimes, you know, it's hard to shake. So we are also doing an event with Alice this Saturday afternoon, The Year My Mother Came Back.
The Year My Mother Came Back, Alice Eve Cohen, and the event is Saturday, May 2nd at 5 o'clock. You're very busy Saturday.
We're real busy day. another busy thing about Saturday is that we're in the middle or at the beginning of our book fair season, and we're launching a beautiful book fair at the Woodstock Day School, which is in Saugerties, and this event is open to the public, and there'll be hundreds of books on display, and practically a Broadway launch of a book fair, if there is such a thing.
That's very
one
cool.
Two of the books that we're going to have in the book fair are real favorites of mine. One of them came out this fall, and it's by Marla Frazee, and it's called The Farmer and the Clown. And Marla Frazee is a very famous children's illustrator and author. And this book is a wordless picture book, and it is all about a Amish-looking farmer who's tending his field. Imagine a palette of sort of black and white coloring, and then all of a sudden see a circus train traveling in the distance, and my goodness, something pops off this train, and it's a little red clown. And the farmer takes the clown to his house, doesn't know what to do with him, but feeds him and cares for him and worries over him and tries to entertain him and shows him some farming duties, and they're enjoying their time together. And then at the end of the book, the circus train comes back and picks up the little clown. And there's just such humanity, joy, and compassion in this book. It's a wonderful picture book. I love wordless picture books, and The Farmer and the Clown is one of the best examples of it.
The Farmer
the next
and the Clown. Yes.
The next book comes to us from Toon Graphics, which is always a fave of mine. I love this imprint. And it's a book by Nadja Spiegelman and Sergio Garcia Sanchez, and it's called Lost in NYC, A Subway Adventure. This is a great book for middle grade kids. Maybe they're visiting New York City for the first time. Maybe they live in New York City and they're about to take the subway on their own for the first time. And this book is the story of a class trip. They're going from their school to the Empire State Building, and it's a bunch of middle grade students, and guess what happens on the platform of the 96th Street subway? They get separated. And it's about how two of them finally make their way to the Empire State Building and reunite with their class. It's also a story of friendship as well. And it's filled with little tidbits of history of the New York City subway. Of course, a subway map. Excellent, realistic pictures of the subway. And I don't know, I love the subway, and I can't imagine that anybody else wouldn't. And I think that this book is a must on everyone's shelf.
Lost in New York City, A Subway Adventure. We probably have time for one more.
Okay, great. So the last book that I wanted to talk about today is a very interesting special book called The Secret History of Kindness, Learning from How Dogs Learn. And this book is by Melissa Holbrook Pearson. And it is a book that is, it's about kind of her, she's approaching how to train her dog, okay, and being a very considerate, intelligent person, she's trying to look at some of the scientific aspects of animal behavior and how to train a dog. And this takes her to explore the works of B.F. Skinner and positive reinforcement training. And then she interviews different animal behavioralists and tries to see what the best way to learn to train a dog is and how ultimately learning from kindness is the best way to learn. It's a very interesting book that sort of explores the intersection between animal behavior, training, and also human perception of control and empathy. It's a really cool book. We're going to be doing an event with Melissa May 9th.
Wonderful. You have a lot going on. And
people
can find out about all the cool things by going to your website, goldennotebook.com. In the meantime, you can even go visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jackie, it's always great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. You can see your list at goldennotebook.com, also on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Jacqueline Callahan is the proprietor of the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, and it's always great to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be on the show, and I actually have a new co-proprietor named James Conrad, and you will meet him soon.
I look forward to that. Good for you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.